content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. I always say sunny, but I don't know. You know, California, it's not sunny there every single day, right?
No, not every day. Not every day.
Did you live there for any extended period of time? You sound like you did, maybe.
No, my stepdad did. When he worked out there for a little bit, I was out there for a few months, but not for long, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I lived on the West Coast when I was 18, outside of Tacoma. In the Seattle area for about a year and a half. And it was interesting. I was young. It was interesting. I was traveling. And, you know, there's so many parts of the world that are so beautiful and so much that we can learn from traveling. And a lot of millennials travel much more than, you know, I was unusual for that time. You know, a lot of kids didn't travel. I did. I just got lucky, you know. But I think it's so important for education, I do, to see how much diversity there is all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but, you know, we've got a great show coming up today. We have Dr. Emily Ventura. She's a nutrition educator, public health advocate, writer, and cook. She is the author or the co-author of the book Sugar Proof. We're going to be talking about the hidden dangers of sugar that put your child at risk. And we have Tina Burnett Allen on the line. And we're going to be talking about Tina's tips and tricks of how you can't out-exercise a bad diet. How are you doing today, Tina?
I'm doing great. I've got kind of a big old train station here with a bunch of people in my house. So hopefully we don't have any background noise.
You have it. Okay. Yeah. I remember last week. Yeah. Yeah.
I have an exterminator here. I have a housekeeper here. Molly's doing school and my husband is not here because he got stuck doing something. And so hopefully I can have 30 minutes of no noise.
Of no noise. Well, you know, it's so cool to be doing it from home, but I am anxious to get back into the studios here in the upcoming weeks, at least once or twice a week. You know, I miss it. I do. And radio is wonderful. It is. And it's always great to have you on the air, Tina. You've been doing the show with me for a very long time. Since the very beginning, we've been on the air 9 years, believe it or not. One Life Radio was started over 9 years ago. And so it's always been great to have Tina Burnett Allen on the show. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology, and she is certified. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist and a certified expert in biomechanics. She also has been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. She's been named top female personal trainer in DFW HFW by Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. And you can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. And I'm anxious to talk about this today. I really am, because you trained me yesterday. You trained me twice a week. It's something I really look forward to. And I always feel so much better the next day about getting out there and getting the job done as far as fitness and keeping my muscles strong. But as we said yesterday, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. And that's what we're talking about today with Tina. And Tina's going to give us her tips and tricks. So let's get started. Okay, so you can't out-exercise a bad diet, Tina. Why not?
Well, diet, you know, is of course, not just for health reasons, is the most important thing, I think, for us to maintain a strong immune system and to feel better and to sleep better. And when you bring in working out into the equation, you know, a lot of people, a lot of women especially, think of working out as a way just to burn calories and, you know, either so they can eat more and enjoy life more, or because, you know, they've eaten too much and then they go into their workout going, oh, I got to burn, you know, that Mexican food I had last night or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to, but we all have done it. And I try to encourage clients to not think of it that way, to think of it as, because if you focus on, that's kind of a negative way to look at it. It's kind of creating some negative energy around the aspects of working out. So if you can focus on that, your working out should be to make you feel better and have lots of energy and get stronger. And if your goal, which a lot of people's is to change your body composition, you know, burn fat, maybe add some muscle, then how you eat is going to dictate the results you get with your workouts. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think back to in my 20s, I used to do this all the time. We've talked about this many times. I literally would go and do a triathlon and then go to this favorite pizzeria that we used to go to. And we would have a big salad, antipasto. We would have pizza. We would have grilled Reubens. I mean, anything we could get our hands on. And my friend Shirley Beeman and I used to stuff ourselves, you know, like ridiculous amounts of food, because we felt like, oh, well, we were like little toothpicks, you know. But we did the equivalent of like crazy amounts of exercise only so we could go and binge like that. And it's really no way to live. It's not good for you. And especially as you get older, you can get away with it. I think in your 20s, but you start getting in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah. You don't want to use food if possible. You don't want to use food as a reward for working out hard. I mean, there is a time, I mean, I used to run marathons and stuff and, you know, we'd eat, giggle in and feel like, okay, now I can eat a big bowl of pasta or whatever. And there's nothing really wrong with that. If you really did do something where you're burning tons of calories, that one big meal isn't going to affect you. It's when you're doing it on a regular basis. It's when you're, you know, working out, you know, 3-4 days a week, whatever it is, but you're not keeping your nutrition in check. And you can't say, oh, well, I worked out hard today, so I can eat a whole pizza. Well, not if you're trying to reduce your body fat, lose weight, et cetera. So you really have to just think about food as fuel for your body and eat for performance and allow yourself a cheat meal once a week. But you just can't be cheating a lot in going through drive-throughs and eating burgers. And I think a lot of people that are in the fitness world that work out don't do that, but I'm sure there are people that do. And that's where you run into trouble if you're trying to keep, you know, if you're working out and aesthetics is important to you and, you know, being a little leaner and looking better and being strong, then you really do have to make sure that you're eating for performance and seeing food as fuel for your body. And that's mm-hmm. just, I've always said that to my clients, food is fuel. And if you give your, if you eat, you know, crap, you're going to feel like crap, as mm-hmm. we all know. So
yeah, and
we're
going to
talk a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. So if your goal is to burn fat and change body composition, what you eat is what, like 85% or 90% of it, right?
Yeah, it really is. And that's not to say you shouldn't work out, because people go, well, oh, then I'm just going to diet. Well, no, because you can diet. And here's another point I want to make is a lot of people look at weight loss versus fat loss. And I think most people, whether they realize it or not, really, when they want to lose weight, they really want to get rid of body fat. But the problem is, if you don't do the workouts, and specifically, you know, I'm going to later in the second segment, I believe I'm going to talk about what type of workouts are best for changing your body composition. But But you gotta make sure that you're doing the workouts to keep muscle mass on. As we age, we lose muscle mass. You know, we've talked about that. Even like women, especially, and men not as early, but women even in their 30s start to lose muscle mass. And the only thing to maintain that and keep a nice shape, if you want to have a nice shaped body, you gotta work out and you gotta do some resistance training. And while you're eating, in addition to eating properly. But, you know, a lot of people just dread working out and they think of it as a negative thing. And it's just, the more I can encourage everyone to think of it as, wow, I mean, even you talk about how much better you feel after, even just after one workout, it's like you leave just feeling so much better. And it doesn't have to be a lot, like we've talked about, it doesn't have to be an hour workout, but it does, it's about thinking about, okay, how is this going to make me feel after? And combining the good workout, with a good nutrition.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, well, and I think that, you know, it's important. You know, my secret is, and we talked about this last week, I have exercise equipment, little pieces of it, whether it's a kettlebell or, you know, a stretch rope or, you know, whatever it may be, an exerciser, you know, that thing that Dr. Jeremy Webster used to be a big fan of. I still have mine. I'll jump on that once in a while and just do like 30 seconds on it or 60 seconds on it till I reach exhaustion. Little things like that throughout the day. Or if you have kettlebells, you know, jump down, and do like 12, I'll do that. I'll do like 12 deadlifts, you know, and then I might not do something till later that evening. But I think it's about being consistent. And like you said a few minutes ago, about making it fun, you know, truly making it fun.
Yeah. So I want to go over some points on the nutrition side of it and things that I do myself and that I try to get my clients to do to get the best results. And the first one is to eat a high protein, moderate fat breakfast. A lot of people still are in the, you know, just having a bowl of oatmeal thing. I had a client that was doing that. Well, she's my client that just had her baby last March, and she's really trying to get her body, you know, baby weight off. And I got her to start eating, you know, just a couple eggs and some avocado, and she throws some veggies in there. She'll make an omelet or something like that. And first of all, that's the best way to start off your day. It keeps you satiated longer. It keeps you from getting cravings because it keeps your blood sugar levels at bay. You know, if you eat just straight carbs for breakfast or just not enough protein, you're going to tend, that's going to last you maybe an hour, and then you're probably going to get hungry again. And a lot of times you're going to crave the wrong things because your blood sugar goes up and then it spikes down really fast. So that's one of my big key things for people, whether it's a protein shake, you know, however you want to get that protein. And it's really important that you eat protein in the morning. And then also at every meal, you need to have some protein because protein is what helps build the muscle. And if you're working out and you're not eating the protein, you can actually work against yourself because if you're not getting the protein and amino acids, I know Bernadette, you take your amino acids each day, our powder from Thorne, and I do as well. But that is key for recovery and for actually letting your workouts work for you, because if you're trying to add some muscle but you're not eating any protein or enough protein, you know, at each meal, then you may not get the results that you're shooting for.
Well, and I eat mostly a plant-based diet. So when we're talking about protein, it doesn't necessarily mean meat protein.
Meat,
you know,
right.
if you're a vegan or you're a pescatarian, whatever it is, you know, it's just protein. And there's protein in a lot of different things beans and rice, there's protein in that. So, but it is, I think it's more difficult because, as you were saying yesterday, Tina, you know, meat is more satiating. It keeps you fuller for longer. And so, you know, I find myself eating a lot more carbohydrates than I used to, but I'm okay with that. And I am trying to, you know, offset it by implementing more protein in my diet, like you said, and fat. In fact, I had a whole avocado by accident. I was at a restaurant and I misunderstood that what the person that was eating with me said that they liked avocado when they didn't. Anyway, I didn't want to waste it, so I ate the whole thing. And I was full for hours from just that one avocado along with a little side salad. And, you know, and I was bad. I ordered some fries too because I hadn't had fries in a really long time. I didn't eat all of them. But I think it's important to remember that it's about balance and mixing it up, right?
Right. No, yes, I agree. And it depends on each person's goal too. I mean, if you're really wanting to, you know, I have two clients that are just had babies and are trying to drop their baby weight. So, you know, they're going to have to be really, you know, specific about their nutrition if they really want to drop the weight. And some people that are just, they're happy where they are and they just want to maintain and stay healthy, then, you know, it's just a different goal. And so how you eat and how you work out can mm-hmm. is very going to vary between each individual and their goals and their position and, you know, in life and what they're trying to accomplish. So,
yeah, I love talking about this, but we're going to go to break. More coming up. Tina Burnett Allen, you can't out exercise a bad diet. Tina's tips and tricks. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Has made staying in ketosis clean and easy. Introducing Sun Warrior's plant-based clean keto protein peptides. Add this delicious fat-burning fuel with essential vitamins, minerals, and fiber to your favorite beverage. Improve your energy, metabolism, and overall health with plant-based clean keto protein peptides. Download the Sun Warrior app or go to sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Wellbeing Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, Bernadette here. We are so happy to partner with companies like Enviromedica, makers of TerraFlora. TerraFlora mimics the biodiversity reflected in ancestral diets for superior gut health. TerraFlora is a 2-in-1 probiotic with prebiotic that promotes the balance of beneficial bacteria in the gut, supports digestion, and actually works. TerraFlora is paleo, keto, and vegan friendly, made with the highest quality ingredients from around the world. Try TerraFlora today at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have Tina Burnett Allen on the line. We are talking about you can't out-exercise a bad diet. No, you can't. And Tina's tips and tricks, she's going to share some more with us. So, Tina, let's hear them. What are your tips and tricks? How do you stay looking so awesome? What do you do, sister?
Like I mentioned before, protein is a big part of my diet, but lots of veggies, of course, lots of veggies and good healthy fats. Another thing I do that I try to get my clients to do too is avoid starchy processed carbs and sugar. We've all heard it. You know, you got the keto, you've got all the, you've got paleo and everything that, you know, and then you've got the guests coming after me to talk about sugar and, you know, just more you can avoid sugar, the better. And processed
absolutely
carbs, flour products, anything. And I always tell people anything that comes out of a box is stuff that you want to limit. You know, even I know you're a big pasta eater, but we had that discussion yesterday. And I'm not a pasta eater. Every once in a while, I may taste my kids' mac and cheese, or if it's a good lobster mac and cheese, I'll have a little bit on a special occasion. But try to avoid the starchy processed carbs. Another thing that helps is to keep a food journal. And, you know, again, I have a client that trying to lose weight. And she just couldn't figure out, you know, she just wasn't dropping it, you know, the body fat. And she got an app where she's able to log in her food. And she didn't realize how much extra she was eating and how many, like, way more calories than her body really needed. And so that's another thing that really, really helps. And there's a lot of apps out there. You can just go to the app store on your phone and plug in food journals. The other thing that helps is to plan your meals in advance to avoid making poor choices on the run, because, you know, everybody's rushing around. We're rushed. If you have one day, like a Sunday or a Monday afternoon, where you can go to the store and kind of have your list, kind of know what you're going to have prepared, and have food, healthy food available in your fridge, whether it's chopped up vegetables or, you know, whatever healthy snacks you'd like to have. But plan meals, like know ahead what you're going to have for dinner that night. And so you're not, you know, rushing through and getting fast food or something that's not the best choice. And then, of course, limit alcohol intake. We've all heard it. We all know it. Just, yep. You know, I don't even have to say anything else about that.
We know you got to limit that. Well, you know, you do. But I find myself when I say, okay, I'm not going to drink, you know, for several days, I'm going to cut out the wine. Then I find myself still craving carbohydrates. You know, it's so tricky and it's so difficult. You really have to, you know, implement a lot of discipline. And I think that's why the exercise with it is so important for overall health, because the exercise, it's kind of like, you know, you and I've talked about this. I'm not going to blow it when I get home after I've put out an hour's worth of effort, you know, to build muscle and get lean and, you know, get my heart healthy and all these things that exercise do, by coming home and blowing it on a diet. But it is very difficult and you have to have a lot of discipline.
Yeah. And, you know, my next one was avoid late night snacking. And I think, as long as I've been in this business and worked with many, 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 many clients, you know, and dealt with myself and, is, you know, if you're not getting in the right nutrition during the day, you're going to have cravings. And that's not just my opinion. That's research studies show, you know.
Yeah.
If you're not getting in the nutrition your body needs during the day, you are going to crave. And if you're craving carbs, a lot of times that's, you know, eat some more avocados, Bernadette. And, you know, because that stuff will keep you. What makes you a lot of times get cravings is when you're not getting enough protein and fats and veggies during the day, and then maybe you're just not total enough calories, period, and then your blood sugar drops, and so you crave something to get your blood sugar back up, and typically that's carbs. So that's where you just got to make sure, you know, that you're getting in the nutrition you need at the beginning of the day, so you're not having these funky cravings in the evening. And, you know, sleep is a huge thing too. When you're sleep deprived, it increases your appetite, because it increases that hormone ghrelin that causes you to, you know, get hungry, basically.
Yeah, get cravings.
So sleep's a big one. And I know just most people would be like, no way, but 8 hours is what's highly recommended if you can do it, you know, and maybe not be able to do that every night, but if you can, you know, try to get to bed early, you know, meditating, you know, in the afternoon or evening to help relax and get everything off your mind, journaling to get thoughts out of your head so that when you go to sleep, your wheels aren't still spinning as you're laying there. Because all that can cause you to have cravings and make poor choices. And of course, staying hydrated. I think one of the things I do in the morning is I drink a huge thing of water, and I put my electrolyte tablets in there too. Every morning before I have coffee, and then sometimes I don't even want my coffee because I fill up on water, and, you know, we go all night without drinking any water, any fluid.
Right.
So the first thing I recommend, first thing in the morning before you eat or drink coffee, have a, you know, big, you know, at least maybe 10 ounces, 12 ounces of water. And that's helped me a lot, staying hydrated. And then also, I do, you know, the topic of intermittent fasting comes up a lot. And, you know, if you're trying to, it's good for your gut, first of all. It's good for your gut to give it a break. And typically it's like 12 to 16 hours without eating. So, you know, easy to do it at night, you know, don't eat too late. You know, if you're done eating at 7 or 8, you know, then you may not eat again the next day until the next morning until 8 or 10. That, you know, 8 would be 12 hours. And Jill Lane and I've talked about this before, that, you know, women have to be careful with intermittent fasting because we have different, you know, metabolisms and hormones than men. And, you know, going more than 12 hours, sometimes for a lot of women, it can cause your cortisol levels to start coming up.
Yeah.
And so, because I know a lot of fastings is 16 hours, and I keep mine kind of between 12 and 14 for the most part, and then before I eat breakfast, because breakfast is break fast. It's breaking a fast,
right?
So whether it's first thing you do when you get up, it's whatever the first meal is, that's your breakfast. So, yeah, that's just, I wanted to throw that in there for people that just, you know, want to, or if you really are trying to lose some body fat, intermittent fasting can help. Maybe just meet two or three times a week at the most.
I know. Excuse me. Everybody does it now. I mean, it's so easy to do, yeah. Really, unless you eat too late. If you eat too late, yeah. That's a big part of it. Because I know for me, if I eat too late, it's difficult for me. Excuse me. I need to take a drink of water here. But it's difficult for me because I like to eat before I do the show to give my brain some energy before I do the show. I feel like it really affects me if I don't have at least something like a little protein bar or something like that. But I do take that 12 to 14 hour break like you do as well.
And that's pretty, 12 hours is kind of easy. I mean, that's 8 to 8. That's 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And, you know, so I mean, the show's at 12, so you're still having a fast if you're not eating until 10 or 11. I mean, that's still a good, intermittent fast for you. And then moving into out of the nutrition aspect of it, and then talking about, you know, the workouts, you know, plan your workout times and put them in your calendar each week. That's a huge one. Because if you don't work out in the morning and you get going on your day and you think, oh, I'll work out later. And then it a lot of times it never happens.
Right.
Put it in your calendar and have it set an alarm to remind you that this is when this just schedule like you would any meeting or appointment. It's an appointment and put it in your calendar. You know, see if you can try to get at least 3 days a week is recommended if you're trying to really change your body and get results. I know a lot of people work out every day. I work out for pretty much 5 days a week. I try to give myself 2 days off. And I might just walk the dogs on those days. But you know, whatever you can get in your schedule, but try to get a minimum of three times a week. And like you said earlier, consistency is the key.
Yeah.
You know, when you're staying consistent with your workouts for long periods of time, like your life,
yeah.
I had a discussion with a client of mine just the other day. She's, you know, we're both in our 50s, and she asked me if I found as I've gotten older that I have to work harder or work out harder to maintain or keep the weight off. And I just said, you know, honestly, as I've gotten older, I've found, because I've been doing this so long, I've been doing fitness I've been in the industry for 35 years now, and I worked out, you know, I was in track when I was a kid. And when you actually can get your body to being a better fat burning machine when you're consistent. And I mean not working out for a month and then taking off a month or two or 3 months, you know, not working out. You lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So even as you age, you can maintain a higher fitness level, keep more muscle, you know, by doing resistance and strength training, because that increases your metabolism and helps you burn more fat and calories daily. And so you get to where I feel like I can get away with a little bit more because I'm at kind of a level of fitness that, and I built my muscle mass. And so I'm allowing myself more days off because I need more recovery as I get older. So,
well, and the more you work out, you have more muscle memory, correct, too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You create motor patterns with different exercises you do, and you do want to change up, you know, the exercises that you do and the type of workouts you do. But once you do, say, squats, you know, you do squats, you know, your body's always going to remember how to do those squats. And if you have to take off for sickness or illness or a surgery or something, when you go back to it, you're going to snap back a lot faster than if you weren't working out before you got sick or before you had that surgery. It's funny, my client that just had her baby, she's a doctor, and she had a C-section, and she had been working out with me her whole pregnancy, and they released her within 32 hours of giving birth.
Oh, wow.
Which is really, usually it's 72 hours after a C-section, but she had gotten so strong and so, you know, fit. I did a lot of core work with her that she's already up walking around, and she had her baby on, what, Tuesday?
Wow.
She's already home. So it does make a difference. You know, you've got to think of it for a lot of different reasons, not just aesthetics. I mean, we all want to look good, but, you know, you got to think of it as just your longevity and health and staying strong and fighting sickness and having a stronger immune system. So there's just so many benefits. It just has to become a lifestyle.
You are preaching to the choir.
I am, man.
Oh my gosh.
Well, brushing your teeth. Brush them, you feel gross.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many benefits to exercise, and I always love having you on the show. Thank you so much, Tina, and we'll talk to you soon. Everyone out there, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel like I want to exercise right now. I'm enthusiastic after hearing Tina Burnett Allen speak. So stay tuned, everyone. We've got more coming up. Dr. Emily Ventura, she is the author of the book Sugar Proof. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
What you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom, I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the Humpty.
Have you ever wondered what fulvic minerals are exactly? Fulvic minerals, or fulvic acid, is a super nutrient that literally comes from the earth we walk on. You might not hear fulvic acid mentioned or named as often as probiotics, omega-3s, or kombucha for your health, but fulvic acid is extremely important for helping to boost the effectiveness of the immune system, aid digestion, detox, and protect your overall health. Liquid Light by Sun Warrior is rich with fulvic acid. It delivers essential nutrients and trace minerals. Liquid Light is an excellent source of iodine, which contributes to thyroid health. It's free of solvents, chemicals, or anything artificial. Check it out at sunwarrior.com. Sun Warrior, from the sun to the plant to you. Pour some Liquid Light into your day. Immune system support is at the top of everyone's mind these days. But what's the best way to boost the immune system? Of course, you want to eat healthy, exercise, and get enough rest. But what else can you do? Well, I've recently started taking Immuniflora, an immune support product from one of our favorite partners, Enviromedica. Immuniflora is a powerful duo of LC plasma and larch extract, natural ingredients shown to activate the immune system. Immuniflora supports respiratory health, strengthens your adaptive response to immune challenges, and promotes year-round immune health. You can find the Immuniflora at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com. Hey everyone, I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.pet.com. That's CastorPollux.pet.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
Hi, I'm Courtney Garza, editor-in-chief of Veg World, a lifestyle vegan magazine with thought-provoking stories, fun recipes, healthy lifestyle tips, and much more. Come explore all things vegan with us online at vegworldmag.com. And be sure to keep up with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in sunny Southern California. I have Dr. Emily Ventura on the line with us. I'm so excited. She is the author of the book Sugarproof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Put Your Child at Risk. She is a nutrition educator, public health advocate, writer, and cook, and a California Bay Area native, for those of you in California listening. Dr. Ventura completed her undergraduate studies at Cornell University, where she received a BA in biology and society with an additional concentration in Latin American studies. That's very interesting. She went on to complete her master's in public health and doctorate of philosophy in preventative medicine at the University of Southern California. And Emily has 10 years of research experience in public health with a focus on dietary strategies for the prevention of obesity, diabetes, and cancer. And as I said, she is the co-author of the book that we are talking about today, Sugarproof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk and What You Can Do About It. Their website is sugarproofkids.com. Such an honor to have you on the show. Dr. Ventura, welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It is. And this is something that I am so passionate about, this subject. And we all know that sugar isn't good for any of us, really. But how dangerous is it for our children?
Well, there's been some surprising new research that has filled us in on just how dangerous it is. My co-author, Dr. Michael Gorin, is a professor at Children's Hospital Los Angeles in USC. And he's one of the leading experts in research on diabetes and obesity prevention in children. He's been doing this work for over 35 years. And that work has led him down the path to realize that it's not just sugar in general, but it's some of the different types of sugar that are now more common in our food supply, such as fructose, that are causing children health effects that are new. So we have a silent epidemic of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease now.
Wow.
We're also seeing more disturbances, yes, in digestion and in disruption of the gut microbiome.
Gotcha.
That's leading to, you know, problems with inflammation and even problems in the brain.
Well, your book is so good. I mean, and it covers everything. It even covers co-parenting, which sometimes can be a problem if you're, you know, working on your child's health and nutrition, but maybe you've had a divorce and your co-parent, the father or mother of that child, doesn't respect your wishes or doesn't understand maybe the science behind it and how destructive sugar can really be. You cover everything in this book, including some incredible recipes, I might add, and like a chocolate milk. There was one in there for chocolate milk, which I thought was fascinating, and one about red cabbage. And this is kind of a funny side note. So I bought some red cabbage a couple of days ago to put in a tossed salad that I bought, because I always like to put a lot of variety in my tossed salad, like grated carrots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, what am I going to do with this red cabbage? And I've never made, you know, the braised cabbage, like the German dish, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Which, yeah. And so there's a great recipe, which I'm going to do tonight for dinner. In your book. And so, like I said, the book is fabulous. It really is. But it addresses so many problems that we have with sugar, especially the children. And you address this in the book as well, that children are targeted. How are they targeted by these big companies? What are some of the things that big companies are doing to target children with their usage of high fructose corn syrup, for example?
Well, it starts really early. And it's not just with high fructose corn syrup. What's really tricky is that it's oftentimes things like fruit juice concentrates, which sound really healthy, but actually have a large concentration of fructose in them. Mm. And infants and children just aren't able to handle that fructose, and it ends up leading to buildup of fat in the liver, and also reinforces a sweet taste preference, which kids are already susceptible to because, children are born to like sweet things. Breast milk is sweet. But the more sugar that we give them, the more those sweet taste preferences are reinforced. And, you know, even in baby and toddler foods, almost 40% of those products with sugar is either the first or the second ingredient or some form of sugar.
Well, yeah. And it's hidden everywhere. literally everywhere in things that you wouldn't suspect. Case in point, last week I was at Sprouts, and you can find this at any grocery store. It was ranch dip mix, which sometimes when I'll boil like potatoes, I'll put sour cream and some ranch dip mix in there just to give it a little bit of extra flavor, or chop up green onions or what mm-hmm. have you. But and then there right. was another one too. The Spice Hunter ranch dip mix, and the second mm-hmm. ingredient in it is maltodextrin. The fourth ingredient is organic cane sugar. And you think, you would right. never think that sugar is in these types of things that we give our children regularly.
It's so true. 70% of all processed foods contain some form of added sugar, and 80% of snacks marketed to children. So really, you know, if you're buying a lot of processed foods, it's very likely that your kids are getting a lot of sugar in their diets.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just simple swaps that you can make that can make a big difference in the amount of sugar that kids are getting.
Well, what are some of the, can you give us some examples of, other than the one I just gave, about a common high sugar foods mm-hmm. that kids eat every single day?
Well, the granola bars and yogurts and things like that oftentimes contain really a lot of sugar if you put them in perspective with what's suggested for the daily maximums for the day. So, you know, if your kid is having like a crunchy oat granola bar, mm-hmm. that can be 3 teaspoons of sugar in that package,
wow.
which may not seem like a lot, but when you think about, you know, a 3-year-old, that's about what we're suggesting for the added sugar limit for the day. You know, and if they're also having, say, a strawberry yogurt, that could contain anywhere between like 3 and 5 teaspoons of sugar per serving. So with those two items alone, that could be, you know, double or at the value of added sugar for the day, depending on the child's age and gender.
Oh, yeah. And what about ketchup? Isn't ketchup one of the biggest violators?
Ketchup is really sweet. Ketchup has a lot of sugar in it. It's true. And there's kids that really, they like ketchup on everything.
Right. Yeah. You've got two young boys.
Ideas.
I'm sure you didn't do that, but a lot of parents that don't know better, they just don't know how much sugar is in something as simple as ketchup. You don't think about it. Same with spaghetti sauce. There's mm-hmm. a great recipe in your book about sugar-free spaghetti sauce and pizza sauce. But most parents, they don't know. And, you know, in your book, you also list 81 different names for sugar. Are companies intentionally hiding sugar in our children's foods?
I think so. I mean, it's sweetness sells. And, you know, the more sugar you put in, the more palatable it becomes, especially to children who are wired to like that. So it's, you know, it's a very powerful marketing strategy. And it can be hard to avoid. You know, there's over 200 names and counting for different types of sugars. And you know, some of them also, there's the low-calorie sweeteners, which might seem like good alternatives, but they kind of create their own set of problems as well. So if you're looking at the food label, you might see that it says 0 grams of sugar. But then if you look at the ingredient list, you see that, there's like one or more types of low-calorie sweeteners in this product, mm-hmm. and it might not be obvious at first.
Yeah. You spoke a few moments ago about some new scientific studies about high-fructose corn syrup. What did they find?
Well, in one of the studies that Dr. Gorin did in his lab, and I was involved with this one as well, was just sending away samples of foods and drinks to an independent laboratory to understand you know, not only how much sugar, but what types of sugar were in the products. And it turns out that there was really high concentration of fructose. You know, we know high fructose corn syrup contains a lot of fructose, but the amount of fructose that was actually in it was higher than imagined. And it's not just high fructose corn syrup. It's also things like fruit juice concentrates that mm-hmm. Contribute a lot of fructose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds friendly. Like you said, it doesn't sound like it would be that bad. You know, anytime you hear the word fruit, you think, oh, that's okay. Fruit's good for you. And so it's, I don't know, it's kind of very deceptive. We're going to go to break. We're going to come right back, everyone. More coming up with Dr. Emily Ventura. She's a nutrition educator and the co-author of the book Sugar Proof. You're listening to One Life Radio. We will be right back.
No one. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to share that Sun Warrior has a new app. Meet your health and fitness goals easily on your phone. You can buy their products, find their recipes, health and workout tips, and so much more. Download Sun Warrior's new app straight from the App Store and join the Warriors at sunwarrior.com.
If you're like me, you want all of the health benefits organ meats have to offer, but without having to cook and eat them. Well, I have the solution. Our partner, Enviromedica, offers products like grass-fed organ complex, bone marrow, beef liver, and cartilage collagen. They are sourced from the evergreen pastures of New Zealand and then gently freeze-dried and encapsulated to preserve nutrient content. These supplements support immune function, metabolism, joints, ligaments, organ function, and overall wellness. Try today at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have Dr. Emily Ventura continuing on with us. She is a nutrition educator, public health advocate, writer, and cook, and she is the co-author of the book Sugar Proof, the hidden dangers of sugar that are putting your child's health at risk and what you can do about it. So, you know, Dr. Ventura, in Sugar Proof, you have listed 7 strategies for cutting back on sugar. Can we go through a few of these?
Most definitely. So the first strategy that we suggest is taking a second look at beverages, because liquid sugar is known to be the most harmful form of sugar for children and also adults. Mm. So much of it is delivered in a concentrated dose in, you know, a short amount of time. Taking time to see what is your family drinking and, you know, how are ways that you can take the sugar out of those drinks.
Yeah, what are some of the common mistakes that parents make? Should we just take away juice? I know in your book you talk about diluting it and a lot of other suggestions. That's probably a good place to start, right? Especially if it's a child that's very young and their palate hasn't developed that sense of oversweetness yet or intense sweetness. It's good to start right out of the gate, right?
It's true, yes. And, you know, even the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no juice before 12 months of age. And there's been, you know, more reports and consensus from, you know, different organizations now that really suggest no juice. And we don't suggest any juice. Toddlers who regularly drink even 100% juice have a 30% higher risk of becoming overweight over the, you know, even the following 2 years of their lives. So the more you can do to take juice out of the diet, the better. And like you said, starting by watering it down and then moving to just offering water and other unsweetened beverages and having whole fruit instead of juice.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the other strategies for cutting back on sugar?
The second most important one is breakfast. So in the book, we talk about the sugar roller coaster and how if you have a sweet breakfast, it's basically a ticket to ride that roller coaster. So you give your kids something sweet in the morning and they get a spike in energy and their blood glucose goes up, but then they crash and they crave something else sweet to restore their blood glucose levels. And that cycle can go for the whole day and just create, you know, problems with irritability and difficulty concentrating. And so, you know, we give ideas for how to give your child a breakfast that will set them off on the right foot and skip that roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any associations with children that eat diets that are high in sugar? Any sort of correlation to them being more, have food addictions later in life? Has there been any research done on that?
Well, definitely, you know, it's shown that the more that you expose your child to a sweet diet, the more preference they will have for sweet foods. And mm-hmm. that can start even in utero. So, you know, sugars that mom eats while pregnant are transferred to the baby and can activate the sweet taste receptors. Same thing during breastfeeding and, you know, during early years of life as well. So you can really help, you know, set your child up to not prefer sweets quite as much mm-hmm. if, you know, starting out young, if you don't expose them as much.
Well, yeah.
You can still, if you have older children, there's still a chance to reset those taste preferences to some degree as well.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, starting early is the key here, I think, because it can affect their cognitive decline, can it not? If they start eating, you know, large amounts of sugar at an early age.
Yes, and some of the long-term consequences of a high-sugar diet include eventual cognitive decline and risk for Alzheimer's disease.
Really?
So studies showed that people who consume 1 to 2 sugary beverages a day have a lower total brain volume than those who consume less than 1 sugary beverage a day.
Wow. Well, are there foods out there containing sugar that would surprise any of us that maybe we're not aware of that we regularly feed to our children? Besides, you know, the yogurt and the juice and the things that that seem common. Is there anything else?
Yes. So things that just don't even taste sweet at all, like a slice of whole wheat bread. And it doesn't even need to say honey whole wheat bread. But sometimes those breads can have like nearly a teaspoon of sugar per slice. So, you know, if you're making, say, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on 2 slices of whole wheat bread, there's nearly two teaspoons of sugar possibly in the bread in itself, not even counting what might be in the peanut butter and the jelly. So, you know, it's just things like that, you know, choosing brands of bread that don't have sugar, making your own, you know, maybe using fresh sliced strawberries instead of strawberry jam, or sliced banana, or changing to a different type of sandwich altogether.
Mm-hmm. What about adolescents? I hear the music. Doggone it. I was going to ask you about teenagers and why, or maybe they are.
We have teens in the book, too.
Yeah, you do. You do. And it was so great to have you on the air with us. It was. And this, as I said at the beginning, this is a topic I'm very passionate about that we've been talking about for years here on One Life Radio. And it's so great to have you on the air. Everyone, I encourage you. This is a great book, Sugar Proof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk and What You Can Do About It, by co-author Dr. Emily Ventura. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bernadette. It's been great to chat with you.
It has. Thank you so much. It was great to chat with you as well. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. I always enjoy doing it. I do. I love putting out good information and sharing it with everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And always remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.